For our next story, though, we're going even further back in time to before the Soviet era. I'm talking about the late 19th century when a world-famous Russian composer came to this city, Boston, to debut what would become his most famous piano work. My WGBH colleague Edgar B. Herwick III looked into how that happened.
It's instantly recognizable. Bum, 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 bum.
The piano comes in with this accompaniment of really crashing chords. Boom, jump, bum, boom, jump, bum. It is just so fine, so true, so wonderful.
The Piano Concerto No. 1, composed by Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky, world-renowned pianist Marc Andre Hamelin explains, was pretty darn good at what he did.
Well, most importantly, I think Tchaikovsky is considered to be the greatest Russian composer who ever lived.
In his day, Tchaikovsky certainly was an important composer, but just one of many in a 19th century Russia teeming with them. And Brian McCreath from WGBH's classical music sister station WCRB says, Tchaikovsky sometimes found himself at odds with his contemporaries.
Other Russian composers were owning Russianness. And he wasn't really. He had a more cosmopolitan Western view of music or voice in music.
Perhaps that helps explain what happened in 1875 when Tchaikovsky first ran his new piece by a respected old friend. Here's Hamelin and McCreath.
He sought the advice of Nikolai Rubinstein, who was one of the greatest Russian pianists of the era. And Tchaikovsky very much wanted Nikolai Rubinstein to play the piece.
And in fact, that's part of the story of this concerto, that the first guy he's thinking of for it says, this is unplayable. What are you talking about?
Rubinstein's assessment did not exactly sit well with Tchaikovsky.
He takes it hard. He's not a calm, philosophical sort. He's a very emotional guy.
Well, that's documented, actually. He said before he left in a huff, he said, I won't change a note of it.
So Tchaikovsky changed pianists. He found a willing partner in Hans von Bülow, a German virtuoso whose career had been derailed when he lost his wife, Franz Liszt's daughter, to his idol, composer Richard Wagner.
He's sort of this guy who's rebuilding his life, and he sees Tchaikovsky's music, and, you know, he plays it through himself, and it's like, this is something special.
That von Bülow took up the cause is what set the concerto on its unlikely path to the Bay State. Von Bülow had a U.S. tour previously scheduled and decided to unveil the piece in Boston, a city that McCreath says was eager to establish itself as exactly the kind of place that would debut a new work by a great composer.
This is the United States trying to establish itself, and so therefore imitating what's going on in Europe.
And so on October 25th, 1875, at the Boston Music Hall, von Bülow took the stage.
With an apparently terrible orchestra, by the way. You know,
really?
Yeah. I mean, they got through it, but it was doubtless not a great representative of what Tchaikovsky really had in mind. You know, it takes a while for a piece to really get its legs.
And get its legs, the concerto did.
Von Bülow stuck with it. He kept it on tour and he played it in London not long afterwards. And it kind of took off. It kind of was one of Tchaikovsky's real triumphs.
Hamelin says it's not Tchaikovsky's most masterful work. McCreath says it's not his most groundbreaking. But it is today an indispensable part of the classical music canon and the legacy of one of the art form's true greats.
I think it just speaks to people in the way that music should, which is in a very genuine voice.
It'll never die. It's one of these pieces that, to me, seems like it's always been there. I mean, it's hard to imagine that there was a period where this piece didn't exist.
But, of course, there was. At least until it was first unveiled to the world, right here in Boston, 141 years ago.
For The World, Edgar B. Herwick III, Boston.